Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. I had originally thought that I would go through verses 23 through 26. But I think after looking again, I think I'm going to just go through 25. And then, Lord willing, I'll go into verse 26, where Lot's wife turned around, looked back. And I'll probably deal with that Sunday morning, one of the services. But let's read verses 23 through 25, and we'll have a word of prayer. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we call upon you this evening, we're so thankful that we can call you our Lord and our God. We're thankful for the privilege to look into these holy scriptures. And Lord, thankful that we want to. I pray that you'd bless it. Bless it to our understanding. Give us some light. Lord, we ask you, help us. We're so needy. These things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. You know, the Lord had delivered Lot from the destruction of Sodom by the means of two angels. And though Lot lingered, the scripture said, the Lord was pleased to mercifully bring this vessel of his affection out of the city of Sodom before God destroyed it. Just plucked him as a brand right out of the fire. Saved him by grace. But when Lot was told by the Lord to go to the mountain, that's what the scripture says. Verse 17, it came to pass that when they, the angels, had brought them, Lot, his wife, his two daughters, forth, that he, that is the Lord himself, we looked at this last week, said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, as soon as the Lord told Lot that, Lot said in verse 18, unto them, and again he's talking to the Lord, notice that, Lot said unto them, O not so my Lord. He's speaking to the Lord, who is the very image of the Godhead. He's speaking unto the Lord. He's speaking to Jehovah and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, not so, my Lord. He said in verse 19, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. It amazes me how he's explaining to the Lord why he can't do what the Lord told him to do. Because if I do what you said, some evil is going to overtake me. I'm going to die. Verse 20, he says, behold now, this is Lot speaking, behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. In verse 21, I'm convinced. The Lord allowed him to do what Lot thought he wanted to do. The Lord was going to show Lot, and he's going to show us something concerning our thinking when we think that our way is better than God's way. Lot said unto the Lord, it's just a little one. Can I just go to this? It's just a little one. And it's probably in his mind that this is a safer place than where I was. I'm from Louisiana, and I lived in a little town called Tioga. It's just a little town, just a little big town. About like Katy. Tioga's a little bit bigger than Katy, not much. But there's some towns in Louisiana that I really wouldn't want to live in. You know, some of these big towns, great big ones. I wouldn't care to live in. Some of them's got some pretty rough reputations. And probably in Lot's mind, this is just a little one. Fewer people, fewer sinners, fewer sins. A little country town, you know. And the Lord said, I'm going to allow you to do that. But Scripture says in verse 30, we won't be there tonight. I looked at this last week. Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. He dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, if I can go to this little town, it's just a little one. It's just small. I want to speak tonight for a few minutes on this subject. Is it not a little one? Just a little. You know, we're all prone to think, as Brother Lot. Lot was a just man. Scripture says he was a believer. Trying to justify our way as opposed to God's way. The Lord told Lot what to do. This is what I want you to do this. I've got this little town over here. If I could go there, okay. You go. What danger in thinking that just a little act of compromise won't really matter that much. But it's the little act of compromise that leads to another and to another until the end is seen to be devastating. It's just a little one. Did not the Lord say unto Adam concerning one tree in the Garden of Eden, just one tree? Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Satan lied to Eve and told her, you won't die. You're not going to die. God knows in the day you eat thereof, you'll be like God. You'll be like God Himself. You'll know good and evil. And the Scripture says in Genesis 3:6, now listen to this. And when she saw, it was just a little look. When she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was just a little pleasant look. It was a pleasant look, but just a little one. It was just a little look. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know, just a little wiser. I could learn something here. Just a little one. Just a little one. A tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof. It was just a little touch. She just took it. That's all she did. It was just a little. And did eat. Just tasted it. And gave also unto her husband with her. Just a little small gesture. Just a little suggestion. Gave it to him. Just a small gesture. And he did eat. It was just one fruit. Just. And the consequences of that little look, it was just a look, little touch, little taste, little gesture toward her husband, and his eating of just one fruit. It was just one. But it was one that God forbid. Thereby, the whole world of mankind spiritually died, and the earth was cursed. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." King David one night saw a woman. He just saw her. Just a little look. But from that one look, he sent a messenger, took her, brought her to David. David lay with her. She conceived. David had her husband killed. The sword never left David's house. The enemies of the Lord had reason to blaspheme. Oh, the danger of thinking, it's just a little. The commandment of the Lord to Lot and to every vessel of His mercy is, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Don't linger with desire for this world. Flee to the mountain. Flee to the rock, Christ Himself, lest you be consumed. Now listen. Here's why. God is going to judge this world. God's going to judge sin. He's going to deal with it. And He did. The Scripture says back in Genesis 19, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Here, the sun was risen. The sun, the way the wording there, the sun was out. You see it. It wasn't a day that seemed to be anything other than any other day. Just a day of safety. Bright promise. Another day. Prosperity. Verse 24-25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. God Almighty was the immediate author. God rained upon it. Of Sodom, Gomorrah's, those other cities' destruction. Then, when Lot was in Zoar, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord. Brimstone. I looked that up. This is what I found from the definition. First of all, it's said to be of cypress resin, so pitch probably was some of the material, but also sulfur is revealed to be the material. But the Lord also was said to rain fire with the cypress resin and sulfur. Fire, that is burning, fiery, flaming, hot. And here's what we behold to be the result. This is what that was called. Fire and brimstone. Fire mixed with resin, sulfur. And that has become the biblical symbol of destruction because of sin. Fire and brimstone. But while men look at that, now we think about this. This happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. In fact, I tried to look it up and find out when this happened. Somewhere around 1800 B.C., 1800 years before Christ. And we look back at that and say, well, that took place thousands of years ago. And that judgment of that wicked city is over. But I want us to look at something from Scripture And consider something of the admonition and the warning that judgment is coming concerning the judgment that happened to this city. Judgment's coming, just like it was to this city. The Scripture says, and concerning Sodom, and I want you to remember, Sodom is a picture of this world and its false religion. Sodom, that the humanly speaking, it was men with men and women with women, and no children could be produced from that. That's a picture of false religion. No life produced. No life. Isaiah 1, 10 and 11. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Now this is Isaiah 1. Isaiah, the prophet, was moved to write this. 1,100 years after the destruction of Sodom. This Isaiah wrote somewhere around 750 B.C. Sodom was around 1,800 B.C. So about 1,100 years, somewhere in that area. Isaiah wrote, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. I thought Sodom was gone. Well, that physical city's gone. Gomorrah's gone. But what it represents. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, rams, or he-goats. The God of this world, the little g, God of this world, is what I'm talking about. And the message, I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. I want you to look at these scriptures. I don't want you to just hear what I'm saying. I want you to look at it. Deuteronomy 32. But I'm going to say this. The little g God of this world. And the message, the false message of the little g God of this world. That is what Sodom sets forth. That is, Sodom is a picture of spiritual adultery. Spiritual filthiness. Spiritual of a false gospel. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31-33. Now listen to what's been said. For their rock, now look at the lowercase rock. That's why I want you to look at it. Their rock is not as our rock. It's written, it's got a capital R there. Their little God is not our God. Even our enemies themselves be in justice, for their vine is not of the vine, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah, and their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the poison of dragons, the cruel venom of asp. This is the result of their God, Sodom's God, a God that sets forth that which is no God at all. But I thought Sodom's gone. No, Sodom, listen. Remember, Sodom is a picture of this world's religion. It's an abomination. It gives man glory and not God glory. It's that picture that sets forth, the children of the kingdom are brought forth through the preaching of the gospel. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Life is produced through the preaching of the gospel. But Sodom and Gomorrah, they were Sodomites. There's no doubt about it. It was wickedness. But this city, it's a picture of that which God doesn't bless as far as preaching and glorifying to Him. And God will judge it. Here's this picture of this spiritual wickedness and this preaching of this message that sets forth man trying to earn his own righteousness before God by the works of the law. This is Sodom. That's Sodom. False religion. Spiritually speaking, now you listen to me. Spiritually speaking, Sodom and Gomorrah is still in this world right now. Spiritually, Sodom and Gomorrah still hating God, That false message, it hates God, it hates God's gospel, it hates God's people. And God's going to destroy it. Did you see what we read right here happen to that city? The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and those other cities in the plain? What did God do? That's what God's going to do again. Psalm 11:6, upon the wicked He shall rain snares. That is, the Lord will ensnare the wicked. Fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. I looked at horrible tempest. Scorching wind. This shall be the portion of their cup. All judgment is committed, the Scripture says in 5:22, John 5:22, under the sun. And according to God's Word, the sun Himself, rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom. And that's what's going to be Jude chapter 1, that's what's going to be in the last day. Jude chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. The Scripture says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved His people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, setting forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So, as God drowned the inhabitants in the flood, God drowned the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, but He drowned them in fire and brimstone. It rained, it said. Rained fire and brimstone. He didn't do it with water. He did it with fire and brimstone. Utter destruction. All the cities, plains, the people, everything grew up on the ground. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, of the living God. Now, this is what's going to happen for all rebellion. For all that trust in themselves that they're righteous. All that look to their free will, their free choice, their works of righteousness. This is what's going to happen. But listen, before we end this night, I got some good news. I got some good news. Now, I always like to hear the good news. You know, good news is only good news when you hear the bad news. Now, here's the bad news. All apart from Christ, God's going to judge. And you're going to be cast out into the lake of fire. That's the truth. But for every needy sinner, now, if there's a sinner here tonight, if it happens to be a sinner, Brother Scott used to say that's a precious thing because it's been made so by God's revelation. That's a precious, precious, precious thing. A sinner. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Now, if there's a sinner, I mean a real one, a real one. If there's a real, helpless sinner, needy, stinking sinner here, I've got some good news. Just as Almighty God rescued Lot, just Lot, from the wrath that was due unto Lot. If the Lord who rescued Lot, who lingered when judgment was, I mean, in minutes, was getting ready to fall on Sodom. Minutes. Took him by the hand, Scripture says. His wife, he took those two girls too, that never known man, and took and brought them forth, took them out of a city marked for destruction. If there's any sinners here, that by the grace of God you've realized them, I can't save myself. I can't please God by myself. I can't keep the law of God. Nobody's ever kept the law of God save the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there's one here, and by the grace of God has heard the voice of the Lord say in his heart, All that have heard the voice of mercy and grace and compassion. Lot heard. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. But if there's one, Sodom then is Sodom now. That city itself, the physical city's gone, but spiritual Sodom's here. Listen to me. Escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain. Flee to Christ. Look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Flee unto Him who is the city of refuge. There's a refuge. There is a refuge. It's not you. There's no help in you, no help in me. But if you've heard His voice, and I might say, well, I don't know about all that. I'm telling you, the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. If you've heard the voice of the Master, by faith alone, by the ear of faith, you perceive His voice, and you've heard the voice saying to you, I've stood for you. I have everlastingly loved you. I laid down my life for you. My righteousness is imputed unto you. I ever live to make intercession for you. I'm coming back for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If there's one sinner here that finds great joy in knowing that there's a Savior of sinners, if you're good, if you're righteous, and you're satisfied, I don't have anything for you. But I'm telling you, if there's somebody here and they can't help themselves, I'm so glad that God would reveal that. I pray that He reveal that to me fresh. Now, if you've heard His voice, the Lord saved you. You trust Him. I want us now to remember the Lord that has loved His people, died for them, sent His Spirit, regenerated them, called them to Himself, sealed them by His power, has taught them by His Spirit, given them a heart to sit and listen to the gospel, willing, thankful to hear a preacher tell them from God's Word, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. I need God to save me. I want Him to save me. I want Him to save me. I want Him to save me for His glory and for my eternal good. Amen. Okay.